In many churches throughout the world, All Saints' Day will be celebrated as a day that remembers those that rest from their labors, those who recently went to be with the Lord. Here at Grace, on occasion, we have named those who have gone to heaven in the past year. While appropriate and commendable, this is not the total thrust of the day. As Lutherans, we might start to get a little uneasy when we talk of saints and having feasts to honor them. Several of us gathered here today have Roman Catholic roots, and this honoring of the saints may make us a little uncomfortable. But I want you to grab your hymnal and open it up to the very first few pages. Just past the introduction, on page 11, Roman numeral 11, you will find a list of feasts and festivals in the LCMS Church. Starting with the Feast of St. Andrew, you can work your way down through the list and notice names such as Timothy, Joseph, Peter, Paul, and even St. Mary, the mother of our Lord. This section ends with All Saints' Day, listed in bold print. At the bottom of the page, you will find an explanation of the bold print. The observances listed in boldface are principal feasts of Christ and are normally observed when they occur on a Sunday. On the next page, page Roman numeral 12, you will find another list of people who are commemorated along with an explanation of why we remember the saints. Now, we don't typically out of the hymnal for a sermon, but I think the hymnal committee did a great job in formulating a response to the questions that would come up about honoring saints and feast days, and I think reading this section helps us in our understanding of the day. So please follow along as I read it. Our churches teach that the remembrance of the saints is to be commended in order that we may imitate their faith and good works according to our calling. Augsburg Confession, number 21. The Lutheran Reformers understood that there was a great benefit in remembering the saints whom God has given to his church. The Apology of the Augsburg Confession, Article 21, gives three reasons for such honor. First, we thank God for giving faithful servants to his church. Second, through such remembrance, our faith is strengthened as we see the mercy that God extended to his saints of old. Third, these saints are examples by which we may imitate both their faith and their holy living according to our calling in life. The calendar of commemorations given below lists a number of men and women from both the Old and the New Testaments and from the first 19 centuries of the church's life. Other New Testament persons and events are given with the feasts and festivals on the previous page. Their defense of the fundamental beliefs of the Christian faith and or their virtuous living have caused these individuals to stand out over time as persons worthy of recognition. In every case, the purpose of our remembrance is not that we honor their saints for their own sake, but as examples of those in whom the saving work of Jesus Christ has been made manifest to his glory of his holy name and to the praise of his grace and mercy. So perhaps maybe something a little more specific about All Saints' Day is in order. William Wheaton, in his book Celebrating the Saints, the Feasts and Festivals and Commemorations of the Lutheran Church, has a short explanation of the day. The Feast of All Saints is one of the principal feasts of Christ. All Saints was originally observed in the West as All Martyrs in the springtime. Since the number of those who laid down their lives in the confession of Christ far outnumbers the days available in the church's yearly round, All Martyrs served as sort of a catch-all. Pope Gregory III, Bishop of Rome from 731 to 741 AD, expanded the feast further to embrace All Saints and ordered it observed on November 1st. The joy of this particular feast is in its celebration of the unity of the church triumphant, the saints already gathered to rest, and the church militant, the present and future church, that still struggles under daily crosses. Together both constitute but one communion, one fellowship. They are the crowd glimpsed in the reading from Revelation for this day, a vast multitude beyond human numbering and calculation. What makes them one is what they have received from the Lord. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Their sins are forgiven, and they hold the palm of victory he has placed in their hand. But what is a saint exactly? When we speak of saints, and we think of those who are known for their good works, great church leaders, and people of great charity. One of fairly recent memory may come to mind, Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa was the founder of the Missionaries of Charity, a Roman Catholic religious organization, which had over 4,500 sisters and was active in 133 countries in 2012. The organization manages homes for people dying of HIV/AIDS, leprosy, and tuberculosis. It also manages soup kitchens, dispensaries, and mobile clinics. It runs children's and family counseling programs, orphanages, and schools. Members who take vows of chastity, poverty, and obedience also profess a fourth vow, to give wholehearted free service to the poorest of the poor. Mother Teresa received two notable honors during her lifetime, to include the Nobel Peace Prize in 1979. She was canonized or made a saint by the Catholic Church on September 4th, 2016. She also has a feast day named after her, September 5th, the anniversary of her death. Most of us that are the more experienced members of Grace can probably remember Mother Teresa and all the work that she did. And I don't think there'd be much disagreement that she truly was worthy of the title saint. But I think we can make an argument that All Saints Day is not only about remembering the great men and women of the past. It's about the unity that we experience between the saints of today and the saints of yesterday. We celebrate a unity with those who have already departed to heaven, with those that are still here on earth. Both have been made holy by the pure and the precious blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is what many refer to as the great reversal, the reversal from sinner to saint. Today's worship service has elements of All Saints Day throughout. If you scan over the readings for today, you'll notice that the first reading from Revelation provides a glimpse into heaven, where those clothed in the white robes are before the throne of God, having come through the great tribulation. These are the great multitude of saints worshiping our God in heaven. The gospel lesson from Matthew talks about the blessed. These are the saints of today who rejoice in being blessed, but also face reviling, evil, and persecution. The epistle lesson interweaves the two, the now but not yet. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies him as he is pure. The collect we prayed earlier sums up the theme very nicely with the words, Almighty and everlasting God, you knit together your faithful people of all times and places into one holy communion, the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ. People of all times and of all places includes you. You are one of the saints. You may be saying, Pastor Al, I don't feel much like a saint. I sin. I sin a lot. I sin every day, every hour, every minute. I don't belong with the blessed. I don't deserve to be called a saint. Well, I'll let you in on a little secret. Neither do I. I sin. We all sin. You are a sinner. But herein lies the paradox. You are also a saint. In the spirit of the Reformation, I'd like to point you to Martin Luther and a phrase that he is accredited with using. In Luther's day, the theologians liked to use Latin to express theological concepts. You still hear some of it at the seminary, as quite a few of our traditional doctrinal books are loaded with Latin terms. Francis Pieper, in his three-volume set, Christian Dogmatics, written in 1950, is still the standard used at Fort Wayne, and it is loaded with Latin. Along with his set, we are required to have a companion glossary of Latin to help us understand his writings. Now, getting back to Luther, the phrase that he liked to use that captured the essence of our salvation was simul justus et peccator. The word simul is the word which we get the English word simultaneously. It simply means at the same time. Justus is the word for just or righteous. Et means also or and. From the word peccator, we get such English words as peccadillo, which means a little sin, and impeccable, which means without sin. Peccator is simply the Latin word for sinner. So Luther's phrase, simul justus et peccator, simply means at the same time just and sinner. This phrase is the essence of our doctrine of justification. We are sinners, but at the same time saints, sinner saints. We are sinners because of the original sin that lies within us, inherited from our parents and from their parents and from their parents, all the way back to Adam and Eve. We are by nature sinful and unclean, as we confessed earlier this morning. But as the Holy Spirit works in us through the water and the word, he creates faith in us. Through this faith, the righteousness of Christ is applied to us. One famous preacher wrote, "We can't deserve it. We can't merit it. We can only trust in it and cling to it." Ultimately, however, justification by faith alone means justification by Christ alone. It's by his meritorious life and his substitutionary death that we can stand in the presence of a holy God. Without Christ, we're without hope, because all we can ever carry before God is our unjustness. The truth is this: we are sinners. The truth is this: through faith, we are saints. This is the great reversal mentioned earlier. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Jesus' ministry, as characterized in the Beatitudes from the Gospel reading for today, is what he came into the world to accomplish. Jesus' ministry is what produces the great reversal that one can experience through all time, through word and sacrament. Jesus' ministry, his death on the cross, and his rising from the dead are the good works that provide for our sainthood. We are now, but not yet, part of the great multitude mentioned in Revelations because of him and him only. Will Wheaton describes this scene in Revelations in a very powerful way. If you look at the crowd, you can readily discern that some of these were among Earth's famous and powerful. Most were quite unknown to history. There were some black, some white, and every color of the flesh of humanity. Some were very wealthy upon the earth. Most were quite poor. Some spoke this language, others that. They come from every nation and tribe. What is most captivating about them, however, isn't their diversity, it's their unity of attention. They aren't paying the least bit of attention to themselves. They are united in their gaze upon the Lamb on the throne, the Lord Jesus victorious in a sacrifice of love. And therein lies the secret to become part of that crowd.
Do not do so by squeezing in
and trying to imitate the look of astonishment and awe upon their faces. Rather, you share in their blessedness by joining in what they are so fixated upon, Jesus Christ, who humbled himself to become what they were, a child of man, in order to lift them up to become what he is, a child of God. Our gaze, like the saints who have gone before us, is fixated on Jesus. You are a baptized child of God. You are his dear child who kneels at the rail most Sundays, who partakes of the holy feast of his body and his blood. This is the feast that links you to the saints in heaven even now. You already sit at a feast where you taste and see, where you are in his presence, where you join the heavenly song with all the company of heaven.
Never are you closer
to your sainted loved ones and to your glorious future
than while
kneeling at the altar in Holy Communion. And even though the sin inside of you is far from dazzling white, you get to wear your white robe, which has already been purchased for you and is waiting for you in a time and a place where tears will be history. You are the saints that are celebrated today on this All Saints Day,
along with those who are
on the other side of the veil. Don't ignore the saints that have gone before you, but don't make this day all about them either. The day is big enough for all of us.